This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. I hope the program encourages you, blesses you, and perhaps even challenges you. Now, for those of you who would like to contact me, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. If you go to my website, you can re-listen to these programs there. You can also email prayer requests from the website using the email address that you'll find there, and you can email prayer requests or comments by regular mail, and I'll give you that address as well at the close of the program. Now today, we're going to look at the book of Habakkuk, or Habakkuk, depending on the particular accent you have. It's one of the minor prophets, and again, we've emphasized that the minor prophets are not minor with regard to their message, but they're minor with regard to their length and with regard to their focus. Their focus is generally a little more direct than the major prophets. The major prophets would deal with quite a few of the countries in the Middle East, whereas the minor prophets usually focus on one city, one particular empire, or Israel or Judah. And in Habakkuk's case, he's preaching about the departure of the two tribes that were left after the Assyrians took the ten northern tribes into captivity, and he's concerned about their departure from the revival that took place under Josiah, and he's concerned about the fact that Babylon is an evil nation, and God is going to use that evil nation to judge a nation that he feels is more righteous than Babylon. But yet, instead of really pronouncing judgment or giving a prophetic oracle, as some would call a message by a prophet, he is actually reasoning with God, and he's doing it in a way that is very apropos to our day. He's saying, "Why God? Why God?" And there are a lot of people during this pandemic that we're experiencing today that are doing the same thing. They're saying, "Why God are you allowing such a thing? How could you have created such a virus that could decimate the world in this way?" And while we don't have all the answers, and even scientists are having difficulty understanding the virus, we understand that ultimately there's going to be good come out of what has happened. I don't know what that good is going to be, but I believe that God is good all the time. And that while bad things happen and that he allows those bad things to happen, good will be the result of the pandemic. And I think the good is going to come through the fact that people have time right now to consider where they're going to spend eternity. They're going to have time to ask the question, why did God allow his son go to the cross of Calvary and die, the just one for us, the unjust? Why did he allow him to suffer so? And if he would allow that in order to save us, perhaps this pandemic will bring us all to that point where we'll recognize that God is on the throne, and when we die, we're going to meet him, and we need to meet him saved. We need to meet him in faith, having faith in what Christ has done for us. We don't want to meet him unprepared. Now, as we look at Habakkuk, and again, as we've been mentioning, we're going through these books to give you context so that you can read them for yourself, but so that you don't take the messages in the books out of context, because the Old Testament is primarily Jewish, written for a physical people with a physical land and with physical promises, but the principles apply to the New Testament spiritual people who have spiritual land, heaven, and spiritual promises. And so we want you to read these books and see how the Lord can speak to you through them. Now, as we said, little is known about Habakkuk except that he was a contemporary of Jeremiah. He was a man of vigorous faith that was rooted deeply in the religious traditions of Israel. And again, as we mentioned, there had been a revival under King Josiah in Judah, and now there had been further departure. Habakkuk probably saw the fall of Judah to the Babylonians, and he apparently is questioning why all of these things are happening. The why God question that so many people have, even sometimes after we're saved. So Habakkuk was perplexed or concerned or confused that wickedness, strife, and oppression were rampant in Judah, but God seemingly did nothing. When told that God was preparing to do something about it through the ruthless Babylonians, his concern only intensified. How could God, who is too pure to look upon evil, that's the first chapter in the 13th verse, appoint such a nation to execute judgment on a people more righteous than themselves? And that would be the first chapter in the 13th verse. And so when we look at this book, we can see that Habakkuk has some depression, some concern, some he's perplexed that even though Habakkuk is a worshiper of Jehovah, he still has questions, and that should encourage anybody who is saved today and doesn't fully understand what God is doing in their lives. Just have courage in the fact that your sins are forgiven and that you're on your way to heaven, and that no matter what happens, God will take care of you, and you'll be like that beggar in Luke 16 who died and angels carried him into Abraham's bosom. I really believe the Lord takes care of his own both before they die and after they die. But in connection with that, there's a verse that I want you to remember from this book, and the verse is found in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. It says, "Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." Now, in every one of these prophecies, while there's a lot of warnings given to those who have departed from God, warnings given to those who will be used by God to judge the evil, there's a lot of warnings. There's always some blessing and some promises given to the faithful remnant. And in every one of these cases, God sees people who are faithful to him. He preserves them, and they're the just ones. They aren't just because they're good in themselves, but they have been justified or declared right, made right with God. And so God is just and the justifier of the one who believes in Jesus. And so the just live by his faith. And so even though judgment is coming through Babylon upon Judah, the two tribes that had been left after Assyria took the northern 10 tribes into captivity, and even though that judgment is coming, there's a faithful remnant, and they're going to live by faith. In this particular case, they're being told to go into Babylon and build houses there and to be willing to live there, and God will protect them there, even though that's not their land. That's not where they want to be. That's not where they where they're told their blessing is to be found. Blessing was to be found back in the promised land in Israel and worshiping in the temple. But that's not going to happen for a time. But the just shall live by his faith. And the proud are the ones that are going to be condemned, those who turn away from the Lord and say they know what's right in spite of what God has said. Now, that verse is found three times in the New Testament, so we get a little understanding of how God uses Old Testament principles with New Testament people. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 17, the gospel that explains, or the book that explains the gospel to the Gentile world and shows how that Jew and Gentile are both a part of the same gospel, it says, "For in it," Romans 1 verse 17, "for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, from the faith of a Jew to a faith of, to the faith of a Gentile. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." That's a principle throughout the Bible. If you're justified, you live by faith. You live your life in this life as one who has been born again by faith, and we find out that our eternal life is obtained by that same faith. And faith, of course, is not just a general faith in a good God, but it's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ who died for our sins, and we get that faith through the Word of God and by believing the promises of Scripture. In Galatians chapter 2, we read, verse 11, "But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith." Now, in Galatians, there was a tendency for people to want to live by the law. And Paul is saying, no, the law brings death and judgment. You live by faith. So, in Romans, it's the one who's just lives by faith. In Galatians, it's the one who's just, he lives by faith. And then we come to Hebrews, where we read this verse again. And whoever wrote Hebrews says, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." And then the next chapter, chapter 11, is a chapter dealing with the Old Testament heroes of faith. And even though the word faith is not really found in connection with them, the truth of a faith in Jehovah and of a faithful life is found in these heroes of faith. And so here it's the just shall live by faith. And again, we emphasize that faith is not just saying, well, I have faith in God in a general way. This faith is faith in His promises. And I hope today that if you are living by faith, you can go to some scripture in the Bible that in its context assures you that Christ is your Savior, died for you, put away your sins, and has given you eternal life. I hope you can say that you have confidence, you have faith in the promise that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, was buried, and was raised again the third day according to the Scripture. I hope you have confidence in verses that say, "Verily, verily," John 5:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Now, Habakkuk doesn't leave us in the valley. He takes us to the mountaintop at the very end, at least his own personal mountaintop. And he says, "Though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no fruit, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." And so, for Habakkuk, no matter what happens, his confidence is in God. He's going to trust God through the good times. He's going to trust God through the bad times. But there must be in our lives a time when we repent and believe the gospel, and then we can live by faith. We start living by faith, and we continue living by faith, and our eternal life is because of our faith in the promises of God. Now, our Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless our lesson today and to bless all who have listened and to bless our country. We thank thee for your love in our Savior's name. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com, and we do thank you for listening.